You turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55. And we're going to read in verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And let's look to the Lord one more time as we consider His Word. Father, we thank You once again this evening, most of all for who You are, and that You have been pleased to draw us into a relationship with Yourself, those of us that are saved. And Father, on top of that, all the blessings that we enjoy in salvation and in relationship with You and in church and in all the things that You have called us to and blessed us with. Father, we just pray this evening that You would help us as we come to You and as we open Your Word. Father, we know that there isn't anything in us that's of any value as we try to muster up anything to approach unto You and to worship You. Father, we know that You must engage us. Father, You must draw us in every way to worship and help us with that. Father, we just pray this evening that You would give us all what we need tonight, that each and every one would receive what it pleases You to provide us from Your Word. And Father, that You'd help me to be able to preach Your Word in a way that pleases You. Ask for these things, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought I have from these verses is that of trusting in the power of God's Word. Trusting in the power of God's Word. Or getting ready for rain. Getting ready for rain. Before I get too far, I have to mention something that Brother Lafferty mentioned something about Wednesdays and you can't really show people use that sometimes as an excuse, and I've heard that one a few times, and my thought is what's wrong with you if you don't want to be in church on Wednesday?
Right. Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your heart if you're trying to make excuses not to be in church when you could
right.
be. That's just something that you need to, if you're asking that question, you got problems. There's something wrong with your heart. But I just had to say that. But the thought this evening, trusting in the power of God's Word. We moved recently, not too far from where we were at, but we moved recently, to a new place, a bigger place. It's more adequate to our needs, and we've got more room for all of our 8 kids and us, and it's closer to everything we're doing. But nobody's ever really done anything with the ground around there. And it's very sandy ground. And I've been trying to grow grass ever since I've been there. So I've been thinking a lot about rain lately and what rain does. In sandy ground, I've been starting since the very last snows came. I've been putting seed out there. I've been, trying to get stuff to grow, and it'll grow for a little while, and then it seems like it gets dry, and then it begins to wither. And about the time I lose all hope it's just going to die, then it rains. And then it grows again. If you've ever planted anything and invested a little bit of time, a little bit of money, a little bit of effort, and it's really not convenient for you to water that, you can't really get water to it or for whatever reason, you really start to appreciate rain, and you think, wow, that rain is really a blessing, and sometimes we take that for granted. But anyhow, I've been thinking a lot about that lately. But the Word of God, we're going to consider the Word of God and the power of God's Word in relationship to it being described like rain. But the Word of God is powerful, and it is always effectual to bring about the purpose that God intends for it to accomplish. It always brings about God's intended purpose. But since we do not know all the purposes of God that He has designed for His Word to accomplish in the lives of those we have distributed it to, Nor do we know the times or the seasons in which God intends for it to bring about His desired end. We must simply trust that God is accomplishing His purposes through His Word, even when we can't see it. You know, and that's the thing is sometimes we just don't understand. You know, we don't understand what God's doing or when He's going to do it. You know, we want Him to do it now, or we want Him to do it yesterday. We want Him to do it right away. But we don't know what God is doing. And so we just trust in the fact that God is accomplishing His purposes. He's accomplishing His will. And we can't get discouraged when what we think ought to happen when we give the Word of God doesn't happen, or doesn't happen right when we think it should. And so, so I guess that's kind of what I want to, you know, I hope that the Lord will encourage us this evening not to give up, but to keep sowing and to keep sowing the Word of God into the people's lives around you, sowing the Word of God and standing on the Word of God and continuing in the things of God, because God is faithful. He's going to send the rain. He's going to send the rain. And when He does, it's going to make it bring forth and bud. It can't help it. When the rain comes, the seed has to grow. It has to. And so we want to think about that a little bit this evening. First of all, then, number one, consider God's faithfulness in sending the rain in His Word. That's one thing. If you think about it at all, and you think about God sending the rain, He's faithful. You know, He's faithful. Sometimes we'll go through. I heard some of the brethren talking about gardens and droughts, and sometimes, you know, and sometimes, you know, we think we may get too much rain or this or that, but God is faithful. We can depend on the fact that He's going to send rain. We can depend on the fact that there are seasons and there are growing seasons there. And there are times that we can count upon, because that God is faithful, that we can, okay, I know that this is the time to plant things. I know that this is the time to sow some things, because there's some seasons, and God has made seasons, and God is faithful. And so it's the faithfulness of God that ought to encourage us to continue on and to sow the seeds. But it says there in verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down," it does, doesn't it? The rain comes down. God continues to send the rain. He gives that, and he continues to water the ground. But as the rain comes faithfully to water the ground, according to the region and climate in which we're in. There is a consistent and dependable amount of rain that we can expect to come, because God is faithful. We don't all get the same amount of rain. But we get a faithful, consistent amount to the region in which that we're in. To the place that God has designed and the region He has placed us in, there's a dependable amount of rain. And we know, okay, so we know I can grow these sorts of things and I can plant these sorts of seeds because this is what will grow where I'm at. I know that God is faithful, and I can depend on the fact that I can sow certain seeds and they're going to grow in where I'm at, because God has designed it that way. And He's faithful to provide for that place. But God is faithful. We're able to plan and to grow crops in the time, in those seasons. We're able to time our sowing and our reaping of crops in accordance to the faithfulness of God's seasons. And that's the thing that I want to notice in that verse is that God is faithful. But let's go back to Genesis for a minute. You know, you get all these people. And they get to talking about it used to be global warming, but then it can't be global warming because it's getting colder. So now it's climate change. So that way we can just call it, if it gets hot, well, then it's getting too hot. And if it gets cold, it's getting too cold. So it's just climate change, and we'll just call it that. But you know what? God's faithful. Amen. And the seasons are going to continue until it's the time of the end, until God's all done. And so we can depend upon the faithfulness of God. And in relation to the sowing of the Word of God, we can depend upon that God's still saving people, and He's going to keep doing that until He comes and it's time to call the people home. But we ought to continue to sow in the season. It's time. But Genesis 8 there and verse 22. Genesis 8 and verse 22. It says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." That's going to continue on. And so God is faithful. We can count upon the faithfulness of God's Word. We can count upon the faithfulness of God Himself, that those things are going to continue on. And so we see the character of God in sending the rain. He's very faithful to send the rain and to send His Word. He says there in verse 11, "So shall my word be," back in our text. So shall my word be. He's likening his word to the rain. And so we see the faithfulness of God to send the word. My word is going to be like that. My word is like that. And so the word of God is likened to rain, and no doubt we can count upon the faithfulness of God to send the seasons of sowing and harvesting, you know, because of his word. There's going to be seasons, just like there is, you know, in sending the rain. There's going to be seasons, and we're all going to have these different seasons in life. You know, churches have different seasons, don't they? It seems like they go through seasons where there's, you know, there's young people and there's lots of things happening, and you know, and then it seems like there's seasons where maybe, you know, the people have grown and matured, and you know, and children have left home, and churches get older, and you know, but things happen. There's seasons, and it seems like there's seasons of, you know, that people are being saved and one after the other, and you know, and Lord's adding to his church, and it seems like there's seasons of drought where it seems like nothing's happening, it seems like nobody's being saved. But you know what? There's seasons. God is faithful. God is faithful, and none of those things are by accident. None of those things are out of order. None of those seasons are you know out of the purposes of God. Amen. All of those seasons are designed by God for individuals and for churches. And so we go through seasons, but it's not our job to worry about, you know, the seasons, but it's our job to sow. It's our job to go out and sow the seed and depend upon the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
That he's going to bless his word. He's promised to bless his word. And so we continue to sow the seed and trust in God. And it's the faithfulness of God. It's the fact that God is dependable. You know, that's why I can go out and I can put some grass seed out in my yard, or I can plant a garden. Because I know God's going to send rain. I know God's going to, he's faithful, and he's going to cause it to grow. I know he's going to do that. Because he's, you know, I can depend upon him. He's faithful. And so that should encourage us to continue to sow the word, because he's faithful. So faith in God's faithfulness, you know, we need to believe that God's faithful. And we continue to sow the seed because he's faithful. But faith in God's faithfulness is the key to our encouragement and our continuance in the ministry of God's word. We know God is faithful, and we know God is accomplishing his purposes for the word. So we are strengthened and encouraged to continue in the work, because we know that he will soon be sending some rain. We know it's coming. We know that God is going to bless. We know that God is going to, he has an intended purpose for that. And so we continue being encouraged in the fact that God is faithful. So that being the first thought. The second thought then is, we ought to rejoice in the effectual power of God's word. And that's really, really specifically what these verses are really getting at, is the effectual power of the word of God. When it rains, it maketh it bring forth in bud. It has to. It can't help it. When God sends the rain, it makes the earth to bring forth in bud. I really like that. And every time I go out and I see all the little plants withering and dying and the leaves falling off them, and then it rains, and I go out there and I think, it maketh it bring forth in bud. They have to. They have to grow. You know, there's seeds that I've long forgotten about. Seeds that, I threw seeds out in the yard, and I'm trying to get stuff to grow, and I'm watering it like crazy, and I'm trying to get it to grow, but I just can't, you know, watering, you can't even come close to God. God sends a 15-minute rain shower, and you can't even come close. You can water it every day, and you can try to soak the ground, and you just can't do it. You can't keep up. But I'm doing this, and I'm watering, and I'm thinking I got the ground wet, and I'm just kind of giving up on this area. It's just not growing. And then God starts, and then it just starts raining. And we've had like a couple weeks where it's just raining and raining and raining and raining and raining. And seeds that I forgot about, that I gave up on, they're growing. All of a sudden they're growing because God sent rain, and they can't help but grow when God sends the rain. You know, and how applicable that is to our witnessing and to our telling people about the Lord. Oh, you know, we can witness to people, you know, and then just kind of move on with life. And long ago, seed sown, when God sends the rain, they have to grow, you know, and people are saved. And it's like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, you told me about the Lord, and I brushed you off then, and I didn't want nothing to do with you then. But you know what? God used that. And he caused me to come to an understanding of salvation, and he saved my soul, you know, because of part of that witness, you know, because it's part of that seed that you sowed. It's because of that one little thing you said to me, in passing, that thing I couldn't get away from it. It convicted me. And then God sent the rain of His grace and He saved my soul. You see, and we need to realize that. When God sends the rain, it can't help but grow. You know, and so we need to rejoice in the effectual power of God's Word. As it says there again in verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it." It is, you know, the word of God is effectual. And when God causes that to bring forth in bud, you know, who can stop it? But after a time of little or no rain, we learn to appreciate it more. And we will rejoice when God sends the rain. The wonderful thing about rain is that it watereth the earth and it maketh it bring forth in bud. When God sends the rain, the earth must bring forth in bud. And truly, the Word of God has this same effectual power to produce the pleasure and the purpose of God. It makes the purposes of God come to fruition. It makes it happen. When God sends that Word in that effectual way, it will come to fruition. The purposes of God will be fulfilled in His Word. So again, we have much reason to be encouraged as we proclaim the Word of God. We know that it must produce a powerful effect. It has to. It must. The Word of God must produce a powerful effect. It has to. Romans chapter 1, let's go there just for a minute. Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I mean, it's the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know what? You don't have to add anything to that. You don't have to add any sort of religious work to that. You don't have to add, you know, you don't have to add the eloquence of preaching to that. You don't have to add, there's nothing you have to add to the Word of God. It is simply the power of the gospel that saves people. The simplicity of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners. This will save souls. And you don't have to add anything to that. It is the power of God into salvation. We need to realize the power of God. Every time that we preach the gospel, we need to realize the effectual power that is in the Word of God. And we need to not be ashamed of it. Why are we so ashamed of it? Why are we ashamed? Why are we afraid to give the gospel when we know it's the power of God into salvation? And we know that God is going to use it for His intended purpose. Why should we be discouraged? Why should we be afraid? Why should we be worried about giving the gospel when we know it's the power of God into salvation? He can take that word and He can save. And you know what else? He can take that word and He can use it at the last day to judge. But either way, He's going to use the power of the gospel. Either way, He uses it in an effectual way. And we need to realize that. Not be ashamed of the gospel, but preach the gospel. Tell people about the Lord. Tell them about salvation, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But we should be, we certainly should rejoice in the power of the effectual power of God's Word, because it always produces the outcome God pleases. And we can never fail so long as we faithfully distribute it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" But we need to understand, though, that the Word of God is effectual. That it will produce salvation, or it will be used in the day of judgment. But it is effectual, and it does produce the desired end that God pleases. And so we need to be encouraged in that fact. And then the third thing then is we need to be ready for rain. And I guess that's kind of where we want to get to with a lot of these things is you know, the effectual power of God's word and sending the rain. That's God's business. That's His sovereignty. And I don't know all of the purposes of God in His word. You know, but you know what? When it comes down to it, I don't need to know all the purposes of God in the word, His word, for His word, because that's not really my business. My business is what I do with the seed. My business is what I do with the Word of God. You see, that's what I'm responsible for. And I'm supposed to take that Word and I'm supposed to sow the Word. And so we see here in Isaiah, the Word of God described as rain. But we also see, you know, in the parable of the sower, the Word of God described as seed. You see, and we're responsible for that seed. But notice here in verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." We see some responsibility there too, don't we?
Amen.
We see that after the Word of God has brought forth fruit, we've got some responsibility to take that and do something with it, don't we? The seed isn't just for nothing, but it's for the sower, it's for a purpose. And we are all sitting here today, and every time we come and we gather in our churches, and we come and we hear the Word of God preached, it is bringing forth fruit in our lives and understanding in our hearts, and we are being provided with seed, and we're not just to take that and waste it, but we're to sow it, we're to use it. There's some responsibility there. It provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater. A lot of times we're a bunch of eaters. You know, but we're not very good sowers. We like to make our bread, don't we? And we like to sit in our pews and get fat and lazy. But we don't like to take the word out and sow it. That's where we need to get down to. We need to take the word and sow it. Sow the seed. We need to be ready for rain. There's so many things that we need to do. You know, if we really believe that God's gonna make His word effectual, and obviously we all desire that the Lord would be working out salvation in the lives of those around us and those we're ministering to. I mean, it's the desire of our heart. We want to see God save. I mean, sure we do. We want to see God working. We want to see lives change. We want to see, you know, the Lord adding to His churches. We want to see these things. These are the desires of our hearts. But we can't sit around and, like Brother Lafferty said, we can't sit around and think the ark's just going to just pop up out of nowhere. You got to get a hammer, and you got to get some nails, you got to get some wood, you got to do some preparation. You got to move with fear. And so, in the application of a sower, you've got to go and you've got to do some preparation in the ground, in the field. You've got to till the ground. You've got to make ready the ground, and you've got to get your seed, and you've got to sow the seed. But we've got to make ready for rain and be ready for rain. But it says that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Again, in this phrase, we see that we have responsibilities in relationship to the rain. We must realize that both the sower and the eater have a responsibility to gather seeds that God has caused to grow. Whether they went to the market or to the field themselves, they had to go get what God provided. You know, both the sower And the eater had to go get the seed. They had to go get it. It didn't just come to them. They had to go get the seed. They had to gather up the seed. And obviously it applies to us being in church, being in our Bibles, you know, praying and seeking the Lord. We need to be where we can gather up the seed. But as far as the eater, the seed just didn't become bread, did it? You got to take the seed, and you've got to grind it down into flour, and then you've got to take the flour, and then you've got to, you know, add all the things to the flour that it needs, and then you've got to bake it, and then you've got to, you know, then you've got to serve it before you can eat it. But there's a lot of things that go into it before you can eat the bread, and so I mean, there's a lot of responsibility there, after God sends the rain and brings forth those things, we still got to go gather that up and apply it. Apply the Word of God to our lives and take in the Word of God and use the Word of God in the way that He has designed for it to be used. But considering further the sower, we kind of want to focus on that aspect. We see him in a cycle of sowing and of reaping. As God sends the rain and gives the increase, the chief concern and responsibilities of the sower is the seed. I mean, that's obviously his chief concern. He's the sower for a reason. Sowing seeds is his business, you know, and sowing seeds is our business. We're sowers. We're sowers. And we're witnesses of salvation. We're witnesses of God's grace. We're witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're witnesses of the truth of God's word and all those things. And so we're sowers. And our business is the word. Our business is the seed. We that needs to be our business. And we need to be going about sowing those things. And that needs to be our thought process and thinking about how we're going to sow the word. How we're going to sow this into people's lives and how we're going to make preparation that we can sow the word. And it needs to be our business. But that's his, that was the sower's business. We see that cycle of sowing and reaping as God sends the rain and gives the increase. It was his chief concern and responsibility of the sower is the seed and its distribution to the ground. The sower and his relationship to the rain is a great picture of our relationship to the word of God. Everything the sower must do with the seed, we must do with the word of God. In every way, the sower is dependent upon the rain. We are dependent upon God to make the word effectual. But like the sower, we must sow the word of God or it will not grow. Amen. I mean, that is, I mean, I don't care how much it rains outside. If my seeds are inside in a jar or they're inside, stored inside, they will not grow. It won't grow. You have to take the seed out. It has to be applied to the ground, and then when the rain comes in contact with it, it makes it grow. You see, but that's our responsibility. You've got to sow the seed. And if we don't sow the seed, it's just not going to grow. I think about that again, all the, you know, lots of gardens and lots of things growing this time of year. But you know what? You can go to like one of the farm stores, you know, Tractor Supply or whatever. You go in there and you see the whole track of, you know, whole rack of seeds, and they're all still in the package. And it's been raining and great weather up where I'm at to grow seeds, but none of the seeds in the store are growing. Right. They're still in the pretty little package. You know, we like to keep our seeds in their pretty little packages. But we're not planting. We're not sowing. We're not getting our hands dirty. You know, you've got to get, I've never seen anybody plant a garden that didn't get really dirt under your fingernails. Right. You know, I didn't see anybody ever plant a garden that didn't get dirty hands, get dirty knees from getting down in the ground and digging the weeds and getting the ground ready. I've never seen a gardener that stayed real clean. You know, you're going to get dirt on your hands. But we sometimes like our pretty little packages of seeds and we keep them on our pretty little shelves and they're all in order. We've got our doctrines in order, don't we? We've got them all lined up and here's these seeds and these seeds and these seeds and they're all so pretty on the shelf. You know, but we need to tear open those. We need to tear open those packages, and we need to go sow those seeds in the ground. We need to get our hands dirty and sow some seeds because they're never going to grow. All those wonderful truths that we love so much, and we sit and we say amen, and they just rejoice our hearts when we come together. They're not helping anybody out there if we're not sowing the seeds into their lives. They're not going to help anybody out there. They're a blessing in here, aren't they? We love them, but what about? Don't we need to apply them to people's lives? Don't we need to go out there and sow them into the ground? That needs to be, we need to be about that. Oh, we really need to be about that. We need to be about sowing those seeds. But like the sower, we must sow the word or it will not grow. No seed ever grew that was not planted. And like the sower, we need to prepare the ground for seed and for rain. You know, there's all sorts of ground. We're familiar with the parable of the sower, aren't we? You know, there was the stony ground, and there was the ground with the thorns, and there was a, you know, and there was the seed that fell by the wayside, and you know, that's one of the things I have these little patches planted of things, and I go look at it every day. Well, I don't walk right through where I got the seeds, but I'm always walking around the edge. And there's some little seeds along the edge, but I can't help but step on some of those seeds around the edge, and that's kind of like the wayside, you know. But my sandy ground is so light, you know, that it needs a lot of rain. But you know, it can grow, but it takes a lot of work, you know. And different ground needs different things. And anybody that's ever gardened knows that clay ground needs different things than sand ground. People are different. People are different, and we can't have a cookie cutter method of doing things. You know, we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and we need to be able to, you know, understand people. Well, you know, we need to be able to know where they're coming from and know. And you know, most of the time they need the gospel, first of all. And most of the time, be careful. Don't be getting drug off into some doctrinal argument, because that's usually what they need to hear is about salvation before they can ever understand all those other things. But we need to realize that there's differences. And every ground needs something, you know. It needs something added to it. It needs something done to it. Most of the time, you can't get anything to grow very profitable without some fertilizer, without some lime, without some, you know, some things that are added to the soil. In the sandy ground, you need stuff to hold moisture. And you've got to add stuff to the ground. You know, the Word of God does all of that. You know, it'll fertilize. It'll add the nutrients. It'll prepare the ground in every way. You know, and it's also the seed. We sow the seed, and then God sends that effectual power. That He sends that rain, and He causes it to grow. But see, we've got to do, you know, just thinking real practically, you're not going to go out there and just take your seeds and throw them out in your yard without tilling the ground, are you? And think a garden's going to grow. You're just not going to do it, because you know that all the grass and all the weeds are going to choke the seed. You're going to do everything you can to make the ground ready, aren't you? And then you're going to sow the seed. And we need to think that way. The Word of God is really practical. He gives us these really practical illustrations so we can say, oh, that's what I ought to do with the Word of God. I ought to take it out and plant it. And I ought to do it sort of like I would a garden. I ought to put some effort into that thing. And I ought to go out and prepare the ground and do everything I can to get that ground ready for the seed and put the seed in there. I mean, wouldn't we do that if we were going to plant a garden? you know, so we need to realize that that's our responsibility. We can't make it grow, but we need to do everything we can to make the ground ready and sow the seeds. So when the rain comes, it's going to grow. You know, let's go look to Luke chapter 13 for a minute. You know, some people come along and you would think on the, at first, you know, your first meeting with them, there's no way that this person can be saved. You think they're just, you know, they've got so much stuff in their life, you know. And they, you know, they may have some profession of salvation somewhere in their life. You think, they just can't be saved. Well, you know one thing, start adding the Word of God to them. Start teaching them the Word of God. And it won't be long you'll be able to tell if they're saved or if they're lost. Because it may be they've never been fed. You know, they've been out there in the world. They've been out there in so much false doctrine and garbage that they've never been taught. Well, start teaching them the Word of God. And you know what? You're going to see something happen when you start working the ground. When you start putting good things in the ground, when you start feeding their roots, you're going to see if there's life there. You're going to see if there's some salvation there. But Luke chapter 13 and verse 6 there. Luke 13 and then verse 6. It says, He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. But you know, we need to put some effort into the ground, don't we? We need to dig around the roots sometimes. And you know, we need to get to the roots. We need to get to the roots of why they're not bearing some fruit. Let's get down to the roots, and let's get down to salvation. Let's get down to teaching some Bible truth. Let's get down to applying these things to the root and see if there's some life there. You know what? If there is, then they're going to bear some fruit, and you'll be able to see that. But the point is, our responsibility we have a responsibility to work the ground and to sow the seeds in faith that God is going to send the rain in His time. You know, God's going to send the rain. We can't do that. We can't send the rain, but we need to get ready for it, don't we? And if we believe in the faithfulness of God, and we believe in His Word, we believe in the effectual power of His Word, then we're going to be sowing the seeds, and we're going to be waiting for the rain. 1 Corinthians 3 and then verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
You know, our job is to plant and water, do everything we can, but only God can give the increase. And we need to trust in the fact that He does. He gives the increase. And He blesses His word. But we need to be looking to Him and trusting in Him. But we're going to kind of wrap these things up. Planting, watering, and like things are our business. But only God can give the increase of life and fruitfulness and salvation. You know, only God can. I can't make the seed grow. But I can plant the seed and I can do everything I can to make the ground as good as I can. But only God can make that seed grow. If we are trusting in the power of God's word, as we should be, we will be preparing fields and sowing seeds in faith of His promises of rain. We need to ask ourselves, when's the last, you know, do we really believe God? If we do, then there'll always be action to follow. Just like Noah moved with fear. Abraham left his country and his kindred. You know, Moses refused to be called, you know, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and on and on and on. What happens when we believe? There's action, isn't there? There's moving.
Amen.
So do you believe in the effectual power of God's word? You say, well, yes, I do. How much sowing have you been doing? How many seeds have you been preparing? How much of the word of God have you been sowing in the lives of people around you? You know, that'll tell you if you really believe, or if you've got to the place where we got kind of fatalistic and we think, well, nobody's being saved anymore. And the Lord, you know, well, God's sovereign and He's going to do what He's going to do. The seed's not going to grow unless you put it in the ground. That's our job. That's our business. We need to be sowing those seeds. But I'm going to stop there and turn the services back over to Brother Horn.